6.10, eDiscovery. eDiscovery is the biggest single change to the representative process and the litigation process, I'm guessing, in the past 100 years. It is really scary for lawyers. It's why we want you to read this section very thoroughly, maybe twice, two or three times. Get familiar with the terminology, because guess what? Your lawyer probably isn't familiar with it. It is that new. And if you have a comfort level with it, even if you're not an expert in it, if you have a comfort level with it, like knowing what ESI is, electronically stored information, knowing what a forensic examination involves, what it means, knowing the concept of a discovery plan, maybe even telling him, well, I can give you an example of one or a plan for one, and then come back to the textbook and basically copy that, as though you had come up with it yourself. Knowing what preservation is, retention, litigation hold, spoliation, just incredibly important terms for e-discovery. And if you see any seminars in your area, especially after you get hired as a paralegal, any seminars on e-discovery, ask to attend them. Just really, really important. Those of you who have computer skills, who've taken computer training in programming or other areas related to computers such as that, and certainly regarding computer forensic analysis, you may want to look for a job with an e-discovery firm or even a large law firm that deals with a lot of e-discovery. That would be a huge advantage. And technicians, e-discovery technicians, can make a lot of money, can make very good money. And when you combine that skill with a paralegal skill, you will be invaluable to a law firm or to a company. That's something you really want to consider. Now, the one thing I really want to focus on in this conversation is the three stages of e-discovery. It's really important to break them down, because there are things that need to be done and proactive steps that need to be taken during every stage. And even though you can't take it on your own, you need to talk to the attorney about these steps. It's something that, by knowing them, you can make yourself a more valuable paralegal. First of all, the pre-litigation stage. This, as we mentioned in the textbook, is the most neglected part of e-discovery. Because this is a new process, the focus is really on the demand for material and the compliance with those demands. But the problem is that by the time the request is made, some of those documents that have been demanded may have already been affected in terms of their credibility. They may have crossed over into the spoliation category, which is never good. So as soon as there's a hint that litigation will occur, your firm is going to want to put what's called a litigation hold on any documents or any emails, things like that, that have been created during the process of your representation of your client. You don't even want to open up old emails, believe it or not. That's spoliation. You, by opening it up, you could possibly have changed or affected the metadata associated with that. If you have documents, don't open them. That could be potentially part of litigation. Don't open them. We'll talk more about how to create mirrors of those documents later in the chapter, but it's really important that once litigation occurs, that all those documents that could be anticipated to be relevant to the litigation need to be left alone in their virgin digital state. The second stage is the requesting stage, and this is where you formally basically ask for those documents as part of the more standard e-discovery process. My favorite saying is broad detention and narrow discovery. So you ask for a lot of things in your firm to be retained, but then you respond to as few as possible. That's a really good policy, but broad retention, narrow discovery. And then the responding stage is where you actually have to get the experts involved and make sure that when you turn things over that they are in their original state and that they have not been altered. And once you open a document and look at it, there's no way to go back. Even if you don't make any changes and don't save it, the metadata that is involved in that document has been changed, and it can look like you've been actually meddling with the document or making changes to them. A couple other points here. E-discovery is very expensive right now. The cost will go down as time goes by and more affordable processes are agreed upon. Already courts are really forcing parties to do limited e-discovery or e-discovery samples. So, because a lot of times when you're asking for things, you don't know if something's there. And so you do, the courts with e-discovery as opposed to regular discovery are much more likely to grant a sampling of documents to be turned over from a, for instance, more limited set of dates or for a less intrusive amount of documents, just to get an idea whether or not granting full discovery or eventually expanding that e-discovery request would be applicable. The big case for e-discovery is Zubalocki versus UBS Warburg. We actually have mentioned that in the textbook. I think we even have the site up there. But it's the landmark case on e-discovery, and you could really do yourself a favor by reading it just to get, again, a feel for it. There are no test questions on that case, but by reading it, you'll become a lot more familiar with it. And again, you'll end up making yourself more valuable as a paralegal, and that's what this is all about, really, at the end of the day. I do want to point out something I'm very proud of in the textbook. We have some great checks and checklists and forms for retention policies, for litigation holds, a litigation checklist. We have early recognition of discovery issues checklist. It's just some great checklists. Take those, print them out, keep them in a safe place, and call them your own, because any of this stuff that you use that can eventually be of help to your firm is something that can put you in good stead with your employer. So go ahead and read this chapter. Make sure you read it thoroughly. There's no specific assignment related to e-discovery, so don't stress too much about it. And by the way, since we don't really have a skill related to this, as long as you have a good general understanding of e-discovery, you'll be fine for the exam.